Hello and welcome to The Improverbial, a podcast where we unearth obscure sayings and phrases from around the world, invent absurd new proverbs, and talk about things mundane, spurious, irrelevant, and profound. I am the Capitalist, Pete Kirkwood.
And I'm Lisa Favette, the Tilt Thinker. I've been doing and coaching improv for many years. Pete and I have been doing improv together for some of those years. This podcast is a mashup of Pete's interest in the science of well-being, my background in education and human development, our shared fascination with the world's idiomatic weirdness, and our superpowers in improv comedy. We are the Improverbializers.
Woohoo!
Yeah!
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Pete.
All right. So this proverb is in an effort to be somewhat topical or, you know, relevant temporally. This proverb is Ukrainian. It's also a proverb in Russian, but we're not giving them any credit right now. So this is Ukrainian proverb.
Yeah.
And this is my attempt to speak. I'm not even sure if what language it is, but it's something like this.
I'm going to celebrate you no matter what.
Я тебе покажу, де раки зимуют.
It was a really nice Pete. It was beautiful. Yeah.
I've always thought those Slavic languages are so, so gentle and loving.
You've got an ear for
those. It's like a caressing of the inside of your ear. This idiom translates somewhere to something like, I'll show you where crawfish hibernate. This is common in Ukraine and in Russia. And it means that someone wants to punish you cruelly or to teach you a lesson for something you've done.
To teach someone a lesson. That's right.
Like you might say, you insolent peasant. If you don't hoe that furrow better, I'll show you where the crawfish hibernate.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. I was looking at something like where the crawfish is wintering, which is a different translation, like where they're wintering, like, oh, are your parents wintering in Florida?
it sounds like they're going off to like Naples.
Yeah. You know? The crawfish in in Ukraine is going to Crimea.
Damn, Russians are taking that
too. They're taking the crawfish wintering place.
I know.
Aww.
Well, all I can say is I hope the Ukrainians do show the Russians where the crawfish hibernate.
I hope they do too.
Teach them a lesson for something they've done.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think we have necessarily an etymology on this, but just this idea. Or do you have something?
Well, I think this is a theory that, in Eastern Europe, the crawfish are a delicacy, like they are in lots of places, right? And in winter, they're rare and difficult to catch. The water's freezing and everything. And so a landlord back in the time, you know, like an aristocrat might threaten peasants or someone who had engaged in like poor behavior, misdeeds, to catch them, like to teach them a lesson. You know, like shape up. Like I said, you know, you peasant, you better hoe that furrow or I'll show you where the crawfish, I'll make you go and hunt crawfish in the winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a punishment.
It's a threat.
It was a threat.
Yeah.
You have to go out into that cold, mucky, frozen water and bring out crawfish.
Yeah. I mean, I have to admit, it was a little bit hard to research this because I can't type in Cyrillic. And also, even if I could, I wouldn't be able to read the search results. And I'd probably get a whole bunch of weird stuff.
Cyrillic being?
Cyrillic is the alphabet, which Russian and Ukrainian are written in.
They're both written in that alphabet.
It's I think it has like 33 letters.
All right.
I guess you were talking about this. I didn't really understand the distinction between Ukrainian and Russian. I think you knew a little bit more about that than me.
I don't know much about it, but I do know they're distinct languages. And that's this change. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people notice that if you listen to journalists, they call the capital of Ukraine Kyiv.
Right.
And when I grew up,
instead it was Kiev.
Kiev.
Yeah.
And so the background on that is that Kiev is the Russian pronunciation.
Oh.
And the Ukrainians are saying we would really prefer if you pronounced our capital the way we pronounce it.
Yeah.
So Kyiv in the past few years has been the first official journalistic and official pronunciation for the capital.
Okay, so sidetrack here real quick.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that everywhere? Like, why the heck is like Bangkok called Bangkok when the people of Thailand call it Krung Thep? Or, you know, I mean, Paris, why isn't it called Paris? Or even Paris, you know? Why is it that like we have these weird, incorrect names for countries and cities all over the place? I don't understand that. Do you?
I think it just brings better comfort and familiarity. I'm sure somebody studied it, but
Germany's Deutschland. They don't call it Germany.
Right.
Right. And I don't know. China is Zhongguo. It's not China. Where does that come from?
Yeah. And like, we're in Michigan, we're not in Michigan, which, you know, oh, who pronounces it that way?
I don't know.
Oh, just my husband.
Yeah. Oh, he does.
He pronounces Michigan so weird.
Here, born and raised.
I know. He's got some accent.
Yes, I, you know, honestly, when I first met Brian, I thought he was from Europe because I thought he had a funny accent.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Well, he's so exotic.
He's a really exotic guy.
Anyway, have you ever eaten crawfish?
I don't know if I've eaten crawfish. I've eaten crustaceans. I was looking up these crawfish. I mean, we've got a lot of different terms for it. Crayfish.
So you haven't crawfish. Had crawfish?
I don't think
you ever
so.
Ever been to New Orleans?
I have one time.
You need to go back.
To have the crawfish.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Well, first of all, in the deep South, they call them crawfish. In the north of the United States, more or less, they call them crayfish.
Okay.
And out west and in the plains, they call them crawdads.
Oh, yeah.
All the same animal. Some places they call them mud bugs, at least in a more familiar term.
Ew, that's not as appetizing.
No. Yeah. But I mean, I think they're yummy. And I looked it up a little bit, and apparently they're like low in fat, only trace amounts of carbohydrates, high in B vitamins, and a whole bunch of different minerals. A little bit of cholesterol, but overall really good for you. 5 ounce serving contains close to 25 grams of protein.
Oh, nice. Mm. High in protein.
Good stuff.
A lot of meat in there? Or not
much. It's like just a little chunk. So there's this great song by a New Orleans band called The Radiators, and they tell you how to eat a crawfish.
Yeah.
Suck the head, squeeze the tip. It's crawfish,
Lisa. Get your
mind out of the gutter.
Are you sure that's, about, sure that's about crawfish, Pete?
I don't know.
We were going to really try to not make this one explicit so the Ukrainians could listen to it, Pete.
I want the, go ahead. I mean, they like crawfish. They're delicious.
You know, I was looking up crustacean preparation as well.
Yeah.
And,
can I just say that again? Crustacean preparation?
Yes.
That's a really nice.
You can say it again. I can't say it again. I physically can't say it.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say.
Yeah. It is. So how do we normally think of it? And I think most well-known is, you know, how do you prepare a lobster, right? How do you prepare a lobster? So the traditional way is
boil them alive.
Boil them alive.
It's really barbaric.
Yeah. So you get the pot really a rolling
boil.
It's
their fault though for tasting so good.
I know if they weren't so darn delicious with butter, then they wouldn't have that problem.
That's a terrible thing to say. Sorry, all animal rights people. It's terrible. They shouldn't be doing that.
So the water's rolling, boiling. And you stick them in there and they try to get out. Their tail is banging against the pot. It's really disturbing to hear. So you need to put earplugs in is the answer.
In the lobster?
Just kidding. No.
Oh, in yourself.
In yourself so you don't hear the suffering.
I couldn't find their ears, I don't think.
Yeah. That would be interesting to find out. Where are their ears and other organs? Well, this is a recent study. The London School of Economics came out with a study in 2021 saying that crustaceans are sentient. That means they do experience pain. And a number of countries came out and made it illegal to boil lobsters alive. So these are some countries.
If that's the measure. Okay, go ahead.
Please. No, let's go through with this. Okay. And then we can talk about whether we do this or not. All right. Switzerland and Norway. Austria, New Zealand, Australia, and the Netherlands is the most recent where it is illegal to boil lobsters.
They don't even have lobster in the Netherlands.
They bring them in. So
I don't know.
You'd think we need to boil them alive because that's the freshest way. Well, the chefs in the UK were asked and they said it doesn't have anything to do with freshness and taste. It does have to do with shellfish have harmful bacteria that multiply rapidly once they're dead and they release toxins. So you do want to, from the point that they're dead to the point you're preparing them to be short.
Of course, like any kind of meat.
Like any kind of meat, but no shellfish is
in particular. Oysters.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, then you might ask them, what is the humane way to kill a lobster for cooking?
With a hammer.
That's one way to do it with a hammer. Do you want to crush that meat though, Pete?
Or electric chair.
These are all ways, Pete.
I mean, we're all looking for humane ways to kill sentient beings, aren't we?
What's that?
We're all looking for humane ways to kill sentient beings. No. Yeah.
So this is how you can do it. You put them in the freezer for 30 to 60 minutes.
Oh, and that's
minutes.
Fine. For 60 minutes, well, they're freezing. That's really humane.
Let's just, and we'll go back to our crawfish that are wintering.
They can actually go in there and it's not inhumane. They actually slow down. It's part of, because when, okay. when lakes freeze,
like they're in the bottom of the lake.
They're wintering. They're in the bottom of the lake.
You have to fill your freezer with water first?
You don't need to do that. So it's like they're bottom of the lake wintering.
Mm-hmm. You put bass in there to swim around.
Desensitizes them. Uh-huh. And then if you do that and they're desensitized, then you put them in the boiling water.
No, you don't.
Head first. That's one way. Yes. Because they're desensitized.
Hold up. I'm sorry. I'm jumping in here. Like if the reason you have to do all this elaborate stuff for a lobster is because they're a sentient being, let's talk about cows and chickens and every other animal that we eat. And while we're at it, there's a lot of research going into fungi right now. This starts to say that fungi might start acting like neural networks and have sentience. So now we're going to where does it end?
The mushroom that I'm cutting up for my pizza?
What if carrots have hearts and souls and
they can feel it when I'm cutting into them and I'm nibbling them?
What are we going to do? Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. I'm just saying, I'm all for treating animals as humanely as we possibly can, but like suddenly like lobsters are sentient. So we have to change.
It needs to start somewhere. What are you going to say since we can't do it with all the other animals, let's not do it with any animals.
We don't.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Really? I mean, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah. I totally agree. It's not consistent. It's completely different depending on which lobbying group is out there.
And it might just be because the particular way we prepare lobster, it does seem awfully.
Well, you know what too, I think has to do with this is.
Barbaric.
People do this at home, right? Oh, let's go get a lobster.
Oh, and it's very traumatic.
And then they're traumatized, right? If we all had to go kill our own cow, then we probably would have more laws to have to do with that.
But I guess so.
That's not how.
Let me see. If lobsters were boiling humans alive.
Yes.
Would we prefer it if they put us in the freezer first or not?
How do we hibernate? If they gave us opioids first.
Or no, they put us in a nice cozy warm bed.
Gave
until
us
we were almost like falling asleep. And then they yanked us out and dropped us into like a liquid nitrogen deep freeze to kill us.
Maybe. If you gave me like some Ben and Jerry's ice cream, got me in my bed, all cozy, massage my feet, and then drop me in.
And then hit your head with a hammer.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. We're going to eat them. Yeah.
I know.
I mean, if it's true that there's probably other ways to humanely,
was interesting with it is that the chefs in the UK were saying, it has nothing to do with freshness it doesn't have to do with taste.
You can still prepare them just as yummy without doing this barbaric
without making it so that they're in such pain. It's a small thing.
Yeah. I'm for that. Well, yeah. And would you do that with crawfish too? They're teeny little, put them in the freezer,
put them in your ice cube trays.
Yeah. Yeah. No, anyway, they're delicious. I actually prefer crawfish to lobster. I'm not a big lobster fan.
Okay.
I do love crab though.
Yeah.
Crab is something I enjoy very, very much indeed. And I love to eat, especially in Maryland with my wife's family by the swimming pool, smashing with a hammer after they're cooked, of course.
After they're
and then
cooked.
Like eat them up with Old Bay and you get it all over your hands so much. And then everyone jumps in the pool and then the pool tastes like Old Bay.
And then you're all seasoning yourselves in the pool.
Exactly. So we're ready for the lobsters to cook us up.
One day the lobsters will take over.
Yeah.
Pete, we're back. And I just want to give a shout out to our Boardman Review friends who let us have so much fun together.
It is really fun.
I'm so thankful to them. Uh-huh. And something else they give us is this beautiful and proverbial machine.
Proverbatron.
The Proverbatron that spews out all these great words. And something to comment is the words that we're about to get, we're going to be making up a proverb, making up its etymology, its origin, and all the false facts that we'll be spewing.
We're even going to be making up what we're making up. We didn't even know what we're going to make up yet.
I'm making up that we're going to be making something.
No, that's true. That's thing that is true, Lisa.
All right. Hey, Pete, let's look at this shiny machine.
Look at it.
You know what?
What?
It looks like there was some type of crustacean that had been here before.
Well, I think it was underwater for a while.
It was wintering with them. They were wintering with our Proverbatron. I hope they're not still here because they are looking at us like we are delicious. Yeah. So anyway, let's get going
Hurry
on
up,
this.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to push this button right here.
Eraser.
Our first word is eraser. Eraser.
And now I will press this dampened button. See what word comes out.
Dump truck.
Dump truck. Dump truck. Oh, dump truck and eraser. Well, there's only one proverb that has both those words in as far as I know.
Yeah, this is a good one.
And it's Is that dump truck full of erasers or empresses?
Yeah.
Such a weird one.
I know. Yeah. Is it erasers or is it empresses? Like, what were we throwing away?
What do those have to do with anything?
Yeah.
And is it like a dump, like a garbage truck? Or is it like a more like a cement truck? Or right. Is it like a delivery truck? It's like you can get gravel and sand in a dump truck, right? But you could also like fill it up with garbage and take it to the dump.
You can, your salvage yard. I'm thinking like the dump trucks, you know, that my kids play with in the sandbox. Like that was the favorite truck, right? Because you can put stuff in it.
So fun.
Bring it over, build a little road for it in the sand pit and then
dump it out.
Dump it.
Yeah. And then also as the kids get older, they start saying, calling like dump truck. You know, I don't know if you know about this, like, but it means also like.
Pete, you're always bringing the hip lingo to this show.
Yeah, it's like.
Your butt.
Your butt, your back. If you got like a big, round, voluptuous butt, you'd be like, hey, baby, I like your dump truck.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
That's what I usually use. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard people say it to you.
I know. Uh-huh. It happens all the time.
Because you do have kind of a nice dump truck.
Thank you, Pete, for noticing my dump truck. You know, I have heard that
term. It's hard to miss.
And it's like. It makes me think of like, you know, the dump truck is usually going to the dump, right?
Yeah.
And taking a dump from the dump truck.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't seem sexy at all.
I don't think so.
It seems like a bunch of poop.
It's a holder, to me, that evokes an image of like a big truck full of
shit.
Expelled turds. Right. Waiting to be released into the world.
But in this case, it's full of erasers
or empresses. Which is it? And the weird thing about these tours is like, they're not opposite each other. They're not even connected. Yeah.
Right.
The only thing, you know, my initial thought was they both begin with E and end in S. And I can imagine erasers and empresses. It's like, before I started looking into it, I was thinking maybe it's like these two words that kind of run together.
Right.
Erasers and empresses it flows off the tongue nicely.
Erasers and empresses.
Which is cool because I think it did come from a poem that became a song.
Yeah. Yeah. This.
You find that too?
A lot of people probably heard this because it's more like a song you'd hear in your childhood.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, we all know like the empresses is a female emperor,
right?
Right. And the males really didn't want the females to be emperors and in charge, right?
Right.
So let's erase them, you know, hire a hitman.
I mean, the way, from my research, it came more from like just like that song where there was like, you know, how did it go? It had to be like, down by the creek, the races and the empresses. It had, right? Remember that?
Right, down by the creek the with the crawfish.
Because it was like, but actually when I looked into it, this is a song from like the late 1700s, late in 1800s. And it's actually the racers and the empresses.
Yeah.
Was a sailing term.
It was a sailing term. And it's when they were racing crawfish, right? I mean, the sailors would collect their crawfish from the muds of the bottom of the lake. And they would,
Sailors, like the kids who would participate in these competitions. And that's the thing. Like you'd always have to have a captain on your ship.
Yeah.
Right. And that was the fun thing. They would make these little ships. They called them empresses, little empress ships.
Right.
And they they had a little spot where you put your
crawfish on there. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And there, off they would go and try to see whose crawfish or whose little ship, whose little empress.
Captain
would
Crawfish.
Be, who would be first?
The empress. Yeah. And like,
yeah.
Down by the creek, the racers and the empresses. So that's like that phrase, the racers and the empresses was like a thing for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like if we think of pencil erasers, this was preceding pencil erasers and pencils. I think, I don't know, late 1800s is what my research showed.
Really? Mm-hmm.
And you had a way to write it. But this idea that you could erase it. I mean, it was pen and ink.
It wasn't part of that. I mean, they still to this day call them rubbers in England.
In England. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Because they used to be made of rubber.
Yeah. Well, not there for rubbing.
For rubbing out something. I've got to rub out something. Yes. The verb. Yeah.
You can't buy rubber.
Yes, you may.
Is that a new rubber? Is that a used rubber?
It's a used rubber, darling.
Oh, my dear.
You might not want to use it.
I prefer a new one.
All right, don't stain your paper with my used rubber.
Anyhow, so that expression was in the vernacular, the races and the empresses, and we'd people talk about, you know, and the with the crawfish races.
Yeah. So it had to do with races, but then it evolved into erasers.
Right, because just a corruption of that original phrase is where it came from.
Right.
And that completely disappeared. That track practice of people
could feel inhumane. It was inhumane. The crawfish didn't know where they put on little sailing hats on them. The crawfish were embarrassed.
Yeah,
it was not dignified. It was really they would get humiliated.
And sometimes they would fall off the boats and drown.
Right, because they started to live their lives as if they were on land, and their gills started to deteriorate, and they couldn't breathe underwater anymore.
Yeah. So anyway, that particular
practice has gone away. Thank goodness.
Yeah. And so there was there was a famous place where they would do these empress races on the River Thames, just outside of London. It was the Empress Racing Yacht Club of the Greater London.
Yeah.
And it was a sad day when they finally closed it down, and they bulldozed it to make way for a housing complex.
Mm-hmm. Giant skyscraper practically in the heart of London.
After all the demolition, there was the final thing they had to remove from the site was a truckload of the racers, of the boats, the empress racers.
Yeah. And these little, kind of exoskeletons of these crustaceans that had just been tossed aside with their little sailor hats on.
And there was that famous, quote from that article that was written at the time about, the little kid who saw that final truck going by, loading out all of the empress boats.
Yeah.
Taking them finally to the dump.
Yep. Which is really just the other end of the Thames.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that's where that phrase came from. That little kid, he said, Mommy, is that dump truck full of races and empresses?
She said, no, honey, it's full of robbers.
I like that joke. But, that is the origin of the phrase. Is that newspaper article where that young lad said, and everyone thought it was so cute because he said erases and empresses, but it's actually racers and empresses.
Kids say the darndest things.
They sure do. Yeah. And it's basically a thing that you say when something that you love is
called
to an
away.
End.
It comes to an end.
And some people say mummy beforehand.
Yeah.
But we always say, is that dump truck full of racers and empresses? And it just means, is that the end of a
something that we really love? Kind of like the end of this episode, Pete.
Jeez.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Improverbial. Do you want to improvise with us? You can yes and the Improverbial podcast and be a sponsor. Please reach out to theimproverbial@gmail.com.
Yeah.